Welcome to another episode of The Connected Show. I am Ruben Torres. This is Connected with Ruben Torres. Today we are in Modesto and we are hanging out with my boy Dan Freeman. He talks a lot about doing business with a purpose, man. And I love what he's doing through his supplement company, Fight Labs, working with Ken Shamrock, all that good stuff. So make sure you check out what he's doing. And today's episode is brought to you by SanDiegoLawFirm.com, AM Law Group. My boy Anthony Medina, he's doing a lot of stuff in the community. Make sure you reach out to him for any of the stuff you may need, some startups, some nonprofit help, whatever. He helps me out all the time. This is my man to go to whenever anybody's in trouble or needs some help or just needs a consultation. Make sure you reach out to him. Also, the lovethyneighbormovement.com. Check out the cool stuff we're doing internationally across the border, throughout Modesto, San Diego, LA. We're trying to do some stuff. So make sure you check that out as well, lovethyneighbormovement.com. And this is going to be a great episode with Dan Freeman. So make sure you check that out. Let's do this. Get connected.
If you're CONECTADO, you already know about the show, so let's go. It's your music and lifestyle, fashion profile, the entertainment source for everything you want to know about. North to the south, the east to the west side, stay connected with Ruben Torres worldwide. So let's go, across the globe, well respected, beasting on the industry. Connected.
What's up, everybody? Another episode of the Connected with Ruben Torres show. The Connected Show. We are up here in Modesto, California. We are hanging out today with Dan Freeman of Fight Labs. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's up? Hello, everybody.
Thank you for taking your time out to come hang.
No problem.
And
thank you.
I'm also sitting here with co-host Bo Harrows. ¿Qué pasa, man?
Just cracking, man.
So, Dan, today we went to the juvenile hall. Had a good time out there.
Absolutely.
Had a chance to share your story with the kids, man, and I learned a lot about you today. And I'm hoping maybe you can share some of those stories as well. Give us a background before we even like get into any of the stuff that you got going on right now. Give us a background of Dan Freeman, because you got a ton of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You got today. A lot you of heard stuff. A little bit. I tried to cram it together as fast as I could. It was all over the place, but
so. Everything from bodybuilding to Ultimate Fighter to UFC, all that. If you can, just give us a quick break.
Yeah, in a nutshell, just...
And your family, too.
Yeah, I moved here when I was 4 years old with my mom. She left my father, and I had my older brother. He's 4 years older, and I had a sister. She passed away in a car wreck when she was 19, and I was 12. And then my mom remarried and had a stepdad for a minute. It's pretty abusive. Ruled by an iron fist, you know, thought he was John Wayne. It's just how he ran things. But it all worked out well. It was just I needed guidance in my life, and we went to church a lot. Every weekend I was in church. I never really got any trouble as far as drugs and alcohol and all that. Just mischievous stuff, getting in fights and stuff all the time. But I'd get sent to my room a lot and everything, so I would always just read a black belt magazine, try to teach myself karate. I had a dumbbell I'd put together. I'd sit on the edge of the bed and do curls, just trying to get my arms bigger. It wasn't for football or anything. I wasn't allowed to go to the games, play football, any worldly stuff. It was just to get bigger so I wouldn't get picked on or, you know, relieve aggression, any bitterness, anger I had, I guess, you know, anger management kind of without even knowing what I was doing. And then years later, just worked into taking karate classes, getting, you know, going to tournaments, getting my black belt, went in teenage bodybuilding shows all in Northern California and California. I've won Mr. Teenage Everything. Then it started working into men's division and kept doing that back and forth, doing these point karate tournaments in karate, you know, martial arts, and always competing too. So then getting into men's novice and the men's open. And then it just kind of jumped into meeting Ken Shamrock, who was from Lodi at the time. And he had the MMA school, the Lion's Den. Lion's Den. So
Was that the second Lion's Den, or was that the original Lion's Den?
Ken started the Lions in the original Lion's Den. Ken trained in Japan and was taught by the Japanese to learn grappling. And
because I know he had one in Chula Vista in San Diego.
Yeah, first one was here in Lodi, Northern California. And then I was just, you know, 20 minutes away and became a sparring partner of his. And then I learned the whole submission game through him and going to Japan with him. So then he went to Chula Vista, San Diego, and opened up a studio down there. And then back to Reno and Susanville. Uh-huh. And that's where he resides now. So
take me to you. You never meant to be a fighter.
No, I only fought two each weekend. I went out or whatever, cruising down McHenry or something. You know, young guys doing whatever. And I guess I had a chip on my shoulder. Or, you know, I took it as, you know, my stepdad was always doing stuff to me. If anybody else tried to do it, I wasn't scared, you know.
Catch the beat down.
Yeah, you were getting it. Wasn't bothered standing there talking to you, exchanging words. It was just, and it was on, you know. Knuckle so up. No one was ready for that. Yeah. So sometimes my nickname was Billy the Kid or Jesse James, because I'd throw first and never even ask questions later. So people weren't ready for that.
So you got into karate. Yeah. Was it karate or
Chinese Kempo?
Okay.
That older brother, we were always fighting. He was a bully. He was always beating on me, you know, and stuff. So he's 4 years older, so I was always like losing. I'd have to pick up weapons, a rake, a shovel, anything, you know, to try to defend myself.
You're crazy.
Yeah. So when you get out on the street, I wasn't worried about anybody, you know. Yeah. So yeah, there was some bullying going on, you know. So I was just always like, you know, fighting my way out of whatever. So it was just a daily grind, you know.
So then it turned into Kempo to bodybuilding.
Did it?
I've seen these pictures of you where you're just like.
I was in high school and I was training at the gym. I didn't know much what I was doing. Nobody else in eighth grade. I was going to La Loma Junior High School. I was going to a gym when I get out of school. Nobody did that. They either played football or sports or something. I go to the gym, and there was a couple older brothers there, the Hughes brothers, and they were into competition arm wrestling and whatnot and had big arms. They taught me how to arm wrestle. They taught me how to work the muscle groups, what the tricep was, biceps, things like that. So I had big arms like in eighth grade, and then I got into high school, and each year I went home from high school over the summer, I'd come back, my arms would be an inch bigger just over the summer break. By the senior year, I got like a 20-inch arm. You know, that's not
this
normal.
This is natural.
It's all natural, yeah, wow. Yeah. So I did all my teenage shows naturally and everything, you know. And when I was 16, I was in high school, I had my mom drive me down to San Diego. And it was Mission Beach. They were putting on a show. It was outside. It was Hamill's Action Sports, whatever, out on the beach. So
surf shop.
I went out there and went against the San Diego's number one kid, Tom Galpel or something. He trained there at the Gold's Gym. And it came down to me and him. I didn't know what I was doing for the overall title for Mr. Teenage San Diego. So I won the tall class and he won the short class. And
wow.
I was on. I went back to school and I was in the school paper. There was no bodybuilders in high school. It was all. So I was like this rebel, this lone wolf in the high school paper for, and no one really knew me. I didn't go to the dances, the games, the anything that school offers, just church on the weekends. And
so how'd you end up turning that into a business? Because, I mean, you were on the cover of all these magazines.
Yeah. So I kept pursuing both. I'd get done with that show, jump right back into martial arts, going to these tournaments. And there was a pro bodybuilder. He just won Mr. California's Flex Wheeler. So me and him were supposed to. The point karate champs at the time were Billy Blanks and Anderson.
This is the Taibo guy?
Yeah, yeah. These guys were lightning fast. It was point karate, though. You know, who could hit each other the fastest in record time. But they stopped the fight once you got a point. And now it was me and Flex Wheeler were those coming up and going to be those the best. So we were supposed to fight each other, and then we both just fell out of it that year. But we know we had Flex was like me, he had cut off sleeves. It's like the Cobra Kai type gi, you know, the black belt, cut off sleeves, and these big old arms. And when we'd hit you, man, we'd hit you so hard, even if the point wasn't a good point, like it wasn't a strike point where you get a point, even if it was in your shoulder. The guy was hurt, man. He didn't want any of that. See, he'd just fall back, and they'd say, "Oh, excessive force, no point," you know, and they set you back up. And the other dude's intimidated, or what? He's like, "Hey, does this guy know this is like, you know, you're supposed to just hit once and you know try to have control?" We knew what we were doing. We were trying to hurt the guy. I saw a body, and I was trying to punch 15 people behind him through him. So, and I did have a talent. I did. I was told I was nothing, wasn't going to mount anything, and. You know, treated like stepdads treat their stepson. And I was the middle kid, so no one did nothing with me. I didn't know what talents I had. And then they started coming out And then God was always working in my life. I always prayed. My mom made me pray, made me scared of God. You know, God fearing, that was an understatement. So I just kind of, I maintained that, stayed that. And I look back now, God was always working with me. And because I was obedient.
In the details. Did,
yeah.
Right. God is in the details. Is that what Sonny tells us?
If we fasted at church, like we do this, it was like, you know, a day of fasting. Well, in our church, it wasn't just you drank water and only ate something, you know, fruit or something. It was the church, when you got there, they had tape over the water fountains, you know, and over the sinks and everything. So I fasted from sun up to sundown, like the Jews did.
Wow.
There'd be sores in the back of my throat, parched beyond. My friends would go home. Some of them had gardens, and they'd be eating tomatoes before the sun went down. And I never once, God watched, he knows, I never once cheated. I did it out of fear, and later on it just always was obedience. And so I know he always had a, now I look back, he had a plan for me because I did that. Because everybody else straight across the board cheated, sipped water when they could. So behind closed doors, they just did whatever. For me, I knew God was watching. And out of fear at first, and then, hey, I could feel God's presence and everything, him working in my life. So I jumped back into bodybuilding, started winning those titles all over again as a man, you know, a novice, and then men's open. And then always kind of stayed working out, you know, doing karate, things like that, but nothing crazy, no competitions. And then Ken Shamrock came on the scene in like 1993 from Lodi, and my training partner at the gym worked at the Shamrock home where Bob was involved in, Bob Shamrock was Ken's adoptive father. So my workout partner was a counselor there. He kept saying, hey, you need to spar with Ken. You know, you're really good. I told him how good you are. And, you know, you're the Northern California badass, you know, around here. Study. He could really work with you for this next up-and-coming tournament, you know, this UFC fight. And it was called David versus Goliath. So within the next 2 or 3 weeks, we made it happen. I drove to Lodi. Me and Ken were sparring. Just nothing full contact, like punching each other in the face. And Ken just kind of, I was like really confident, just kind of toying with Ken, you know. I was 280, you know, very limber. I could throw roundhouse kicks, anything I wanted. He just kind of did an outside leg trip on me, got on my side, you know, got me on the ground, got on my back, stretched me out, cross-faced me, rear naked choke. So when I woke up, you know, I had a bowel movement, you know.
You crapped your
yeah,
pants.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know what happened. I'm waking up, and here's all these other badasses standing around. Guy Mesger, Trey Teligman, all the fighters that weren't even champions yet. You know, Jerry Bolander, Pete Williams standing there. Excuse me. And I peed myself, and I, you know, very humbling. And I didn't know what happened.
A puddle of.
I don't know. So, yeah, think about that as a man. So you're Mr. Badass and all that. You've always been told to always be someone badder and all this stuff. So I leave there. I go home. I was treating cancer patients at the time, the glass building here, McHenry Radiation Therapy. And I didn't say much for 3 days. And they were like, hey, what happened? Did you spar with Ken? You know, that man, that guy on the UFC. Oh, man, how'd that go? What's going on? I was just very humbled. I couldn't even look anybody in the eye. But at home, I was tossing and turning, and I didn't sleep for like 3 days.
Wow.
I questioned myself as a man. I had no idea who I was now. I knew who I was, and I could fight anybody, do it. Not that I was a bully or picked on anybody. I welcomed whoever thought they were going to do something to me, and it wasn't going to end well for them. Now I'm on the other end of that, and I didn't ask for it. But, you know, all of God's things that he's stuck in my head, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, and, you know, what comes around goes around, all these things. And, so I questioned myself, you know, and I was very humbled and then very confused. Ken calls and, hey, you going to spar with me? You going to train with me? I'm like, yeah. You know, I'm playing it off. Yeah, no problem.
I'll bring diapers next time.
Yeah, right? Some Depends. So I go, yeah, one condition. You teach me whatever it is that happened to me. So we're off. We went and we trained.
To me?
Yeah, we trained together, whatever this voodoo was that you inflicted upon me. So off to Japan for 9 times that year and learning. You know, learning the submission game, the grappling. Man, now if I thought I was a badass before, now I'm like overeducated. Yeah. You were standing within 5 or 10 feet of me, you were already, you were done. I can even hear your voice. Like, you're in the vicinity. The fight's over. So I was 100 moves ahead of you. So anyways, but I was very humbled, and I wasn't, like I said, wasn't a bully or anything. So I we did that fight, exactly what we practiced. I emulated Kimo Leopoldo, who's about 280, who blitzkrieg, flies across the, you know, the cage.
This is on UFC.
Oh, yeah, pay-per-view. Yeah. And we won. What we practiced was that Kimo taking Ken down, getting on him, bullying him, mauling him, and Ken getting in an open guard, closed guard thing, and pulling him in, getting on his side, rolling into a knee bar, and making him tap from a knee bar, you know, blowing out his knee.
Wow.
Textbook, rolled him right into that, just what we practiced. That's in the Inside the Lion's Den book. It shows me and Ken practicing that even the night before out in Puerto Rico in a really nice hotel room, like a banquet room on the carpet. So it was off. Me and Ken were like brothers from, and Frank Shamrock and whatnot, and we were the world's winningest team, MMA team back then. Everybody was trying to be like the Lion's Den. I mean, and even Tito fought everybody in the Lion's Den and lost, and until later on they had him fight Ken, you know.
A couple times.
Three times, actually. But that's when the Lion's getting older and then the young Lion's coming up. So it was very, that once again, humbling for Ken, humbling for us.
So my question is going to be, did you ever at one time want to get in the ring with Tito?
I would tell Ken, and no disrespect, I go, hey, if things aren't looking good in there, I'm coming over that ring, and I'm putting it on that guy. Because at my size of what I was, you know, not that I was a better fighter than Ken, I just, he's like, you're the big brother or whatever, the angry mom or something, fly across the ring, just grab him and throw him 50 feet in the air, you know. So that's just how all of us guys thought. But, I'll fight Tito. Yeah, I'll fight. The only one I was really scared of was Dan Severn and Tank Abbott.
Yeah. Beast.
Dan just had this balance, and he's big, and I knew it was hard for my style to work with. And Tank Abbott was just, he had no respect. He was no nothing towards the rest of us and how we were. There's no, like, morals or integrity or dignity or whatever it was. And he'd walk up and hit people when you weren't even looking. So if we get out to a UFC event a week before, and we're out and about and going eating here, going to a club, nightclub, you know, keeping busy and keeping our minds busy before the fight, he might get into it with Tank and the boys, you know, from Long Beach. And Tito was part of his group and all these guys. So Tank could hit hard, you know. So you didn't want to get hit by that.
So, Tank.
Yeah, but anybody else? No, there was nobody else in the world I was scared of, you know. That wasn't nothing. We didn't have to worry about it.
So at this point, you guys are pretty much running the game in UFC.
Everybody.
And then you're still doing the bodybuilding at the time?
Or? Yeah, I'm coming into my own, and even though I wasn't contracted just under one person exclusively, like through Weider, Joe Weider, I kind of was everywhere. I was with this company, this supplement company, this clothing line. As much as they tried to get me to be exclusive, I would just, nope, can't do that. So I was with Cal Bodywear. I was with Weider Nutritional Group, but not Joe Weider exclusively. Champion Nutrition, Sports Pharma, you know, I was with all kinds of stuff, clothing and supplements and gear and stuff. So, I did a lot in the sport. So Ken would have me, they would always want me to fight in Pride or the UFC. And I would do stuff outside of it, like over in Thailand or Philippines or something like that. And it's just more of a, you know, an underground thing. Yeah. As I did in town growing up, as a kid, I was out in Orchards fighting. They called it what, pit fighting? I mean, we just call it just growing up. Brawling in a small town, or even arm wrestling. Before school, the truck would roll up like from series with the arm wrestling table in the back, $100 on the table. Bam! I'd slam them. They'd be angry, and it almost turned into a fight. This is all before class.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy. And then, so that also led up to you, your success in the UFC. Mm. Also got you on Ultimate Fighter from there.
Yeah, you know, we got caught up there for a minute with. Senator McCain wanted to make a name for himself, so he just focused on, as some politicians do, they just focus on one thing to try to get people's attention. This human cockfighting, this you know, cage fighting, whatever. And so we didn't understand, you know, Senator from Arizona, and now he's attacked it, and all of a sudden put the kibosh on everything. It really slowed things down. Well, Ken had to go into WWF then, World Wrestling Federation. 2 years, $2.2 million. I mean, he did that for 2 years. It about killed him. I mean, that's his testimony. Now he goes around and he talks about it. It's not like I'm sharing something people don't know about. And we were all kind of lost. And that was a rock star lifestyle for him. And like I said, it was bad. So he, after that, through that, he got a divorce and all these things. And And so the rest of us, they brought back the fighting. It was through the Indian reservations and whatnot. So we had to start out slow like that. But once we got going again, and the Boxing Commission got involved, and Dana White and the Fertittas bought it from Art Davies and, you know, SEG, Semaphore Entertainment Group, Art Davies and Bob Meyerowitz. They bought it for $1.5 million, and it was up and going. You saw what Dana's done. He's done a fantastic job. So now I got some rules and regulations now, so it gets going again. So we want to bring back this animosity, like an animosity, a fight that has – it's going to have a lot of passion to which people like to watch. They don't want to watch a brother's fight or somebody that's a friend or you went to college with.
And, unless it's Frank and Ken.
I'm yeah, sure well, there's still some there. Until now, there was some animosity there. They weren't talking for a while, you know, and, you know, the younger brother and the big brother, and they have their, you know, their blowout, and they're falling out, and they're not talking. So, of course, people would want to watch that, too.
Yeah.
Anywhere that there's hatred, you know, which leads to, you know.
Sells tickets.
All of a sudden, okay, how about Tito? That's a disrespectful young kid, Huntington Beach bad boy. Ken Shamrock's all about respect and martial arts. Let's put those two together. So Dana did that, and, they were having words. And in one of the last fights, that Tito finally got a little payback and fought Guy Mezger for the second time and beat him. But then he came over to our side of the ring and flipped us off, you know, and flipped off Guy Mezger and put on a shirt saying, you know, something negative about the Lion's Den. So Ken jumped up on the edge of the ring, and they had words. So they kind of played off that. Dana played off that in the UFC. So they wound up fighting like three times. But before they fought at all, he put them on the Ultimate Fighter Season 3. So that was right after Randy Couture and those guys did their first and second season. So it's Ortiz versus Shamrock Season 3, 2006. Ken picks up the phone, calls me, assistant coach, want to be my coach? I'm like, yeah, let's go. Off to Vegas. I landed. My wife just had her baby right when I landed, our baby. So everything just kind of hit at once. 7 weeks we were out there, and it's 2006. It's just while we're on the show, Dana kept coming up to me. Zients was the official supplement at the time. Dana would walk into the training center, and it would just smell like you know what in there. He's like, what is that smell? And I'm like, Zients nutrition. And I would order stuff from my guys. I could get whatever. If I didn't like the gloves they supplied, if I didn't like this, if I didn't like the food, if I didn't like whatever, if I wanted different kick bags, mitts, whatever, supplements, so I'd have the show go out, you know, on Spike TV and whatnot, go out and get these things I want. And they didn't question it. So Dana would be in there going, why are you using this such and such? And you know, Max Muscles, whatever, and this company's that and whatever. I go, turn off your mic. And he's like, what? I'm like, cameras everywhere. I go, this stuff's crap. He's like, what do you mean? I go, well, you know, the label on Zients and the bottles and the barcode, that's all marketing. That's awesome. But what's inside is just terrific. That's why the guys smell and have gas. There's lactose in the protein and all this stuff. And he's like, man, you need to start your own supplement line. And we just kind of joked. I said, well, are you going to make me the official supplement of the UFC? And he's like, is that what you want? And I go, why? So you can take half of my business? And it was just a joke. But I went home and just went through a divorce, you know, all of these things were happening in my life, and I just focused on that. I brought four products to the table. I barely had any money left, and I only put it on Amazon and eBay. And within 2 weeks, I had repeat sales, repeat buys at like 98%. The military was my biggest thing, and then so the website wasn't even done. So I never got on, I've gone a route that nobody else ever has with Fight Labs, the supplement line. And the tagline is in the cage or on the stage, so it's, you know, I've done both bodybuilding and fighting. So whether you're a bodybuilder or a fighter in the cage or on the stage, I know what you need. And everybody knows that because the proof's in the pudding. Yeah. All of us guys could fight. We had cardio. We looked like Adonis, right? Or Atlas, who didn't want to look like Frank Shamrock, Ken Shamrock, Dan Freeman, all Guy Mezger, Trey Telegram.
Yeah. I mentioned to you earlier too. I was like, man, when I seen all the promo stuff for Shamrock for this last fight, the Kimbo fight, dude looked like he was
51 years old. I guarantee he looks better than anybody else did in that fight, right? And he did.
He looked like an action figure.
Yeah, and he just did what I told him to do. Ken's not the goo. I've always done his diet and his training and everything. He doesn't even question what I do. If we fly to Japan tomorrow at 1 and he gets on a scale, I'll tell you already what he's going to weigh within a pound. And everybody's witnessed this and watched it. So I know his physique. I know his metabolism. I know his everything about him. So how awesome. He doesn't have to worry about that part of it, and he can still know that he's going to be able to perform.
So let's talk Fight Labs. Where do we get it? How do we get it? What does it do? Let's talk a little about that.
Fight Labs. www.fightlabs.com. So fightlabs.com, is it in stores? Do I go to stores? Do I go to GNC? Do I go to a vitamin shop and get it? Yes and no. It could be in a few of those stores. Most of them don't want to carry it there. Why? Because what I've done is I've disrupted the supplement industry, if you will. Everything I make, I've made it better than anybody else out there. So I know it sounds like I'm better than everybody, I got an ego or whatever. It's not it. Everything's about margins. Like say this this protein right here. They want to make a 2.2 pound jug and they don't want to spend over $10. That's corporate and administrative thinking, business 101. I've got almost a 3 pound jug here and it costs a lot more to make, but I don't keep the price too high because I want you to be able to afford it. Otherwise, it's like a hypocrisy. Here, I'm giving back to the fighters and the industry. You know, it's Dan. He's doing his thing. So I got to make it affordable because bodybuilders and fighters and whatnot aren't rich people. So that's why I didn't like it in GNC. Their prices are sky high. You can hardly afford their stuff unless you're wealthy. So the stores don't want to carry it. Like, say, for example, this protein. You walk in the store, they want to sell you a jug of protein. They want to maybe sell you some branched chain amino acids and a jug of glutamine. Those things are all for recovery. And you know you need those, but who can afford all that? I'll put all that in one jug. And not only that in one jug, it's the highest grade of those things. There's a logo, a patented logo on the back of the protein. It's Agipure. It's patented. No one will deny this or argue it, that it's not the highest grade branched chain amino acid and glutamine compound in the world. That goes in the jug with the protein. So if it's all in one and you can just do that one scoop, boom, drink out of there, you're going to do that.
Yeah.
It's a busy lifestyle you got. It saves you time. You don't have all these things on the counter. It tastes good. There's no lactose, which means it's not going to clump up. You're not going to have gas, no bloating. So that's just one good product. Yeah, it tastes good. It took me a long time to formulate that.
Yeah, I got to say, I was sitting across the room just a few minutes ago. I was doing this interview with Michael McDonald.
Yes.
And we're sitting here, and then I smelt something. It smelled like really just tasty, chocolatey, like just something, yeah, something delicious.
And 10 feet away, it's floating across there.
Like, what the heck was that? And I'm looking across the room, and you're pouring, you know, this powder, and I'm like, what the heck's going on over there? It smells like a little Christmas party or something going on over there. Dude.
Starbucks.
And then you told me that, you got to tell me the story of what you put in it, the hint of.
Yeah, this is a chocolate flavor that you tried. So I call it chocolate eclair, but there's a little bit of cinnamon in there, just a tiny bit of coconut. And it's hard for you to distinguish.
Like chocolate abuelita,
yeah, so,
kind of vibe.
Yeah, being in California, as I call Baja California, a lot of Hispanic community around here, I made the vanilla taste like horchata, and I kind of emulated the dark chocolate that they drink growing up in their culture, which they put cinnamon in.
Yeah.
So I knew at least I'd have every Hispanic or Mexican person around. They're going to like it. And it's going to take them back to their childhood or whatever. Yeah. So it has done that. Yeah. They're always, hey, man, Dan, this tastes like horchata. Man, it tastes like our hot chocolate. But everybody loves it. It doesn't matter if
marketing,
you know,
yeah,
what nationality it is. They love it.
Yeah.
And but it's what's in it. Once you find out what's in it, you're like, wow, why did he put all these wonderful things in here? And I won't even go over things that, you know, the words – it'll just go over your head. It's pretty complicated. Now, all you need to know is it looks good. The bottle looks good. The logo looks good.
And also, I was looking at some of the stuff. Not on this bottle here, but over on that bottle, I think you have a picture of you.
Yes, every bottle has a picture. This one, there's so many things in the liquid vitamin. Yeah. We couldn't even put my picture on there, which is fine. We don't need my picture on everything. But this is like in my heyday back in bodybuilding, and I'm like 275 pounds, and I just I'm just flawless. I mean, one of the best physiques in the world. All glory to God. Thanking my parents for my genetics. And
yeah, that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
There. And also on the bottle, you have scripture.
Every bottle that comes out before it gets the label on it and produced, when I was talking to God one day, I was praying. I said, "Hey God, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, I'll do that, that, and that." Not that he needs to barter with me. Not that I needed to go. I'm nobody. It's just that once he started working with me and doing things in my life and blessing me, I talked to him like it's me and you, but I really deserve nothing. And anything I have is a blessing. But I told him, I'm going to put scripture on each bottle, and I'm not going to write what the scripture means. Like the first bottle that came out, and it says, on it. It says Philippians 4:1-3. So there's my picture, there's my signature, and then there's a scripture. Philippians 4:1-3. That just means all things through Jesus Christ, the one who strengthens me. So, you know, the people are going to go home most likely and look it up. Like, what does that mean? If they don't know what it means, and I don't care if it's in a Muslim household or you worship whatever. It's a chance for you to look that up or Google it and see what that says, and it'll glorify my King, my God. You know,
and this one has Proverbs 24:16.
Mm-hmm.
What is that one? What's that scripture?
You tell me.
I wish I could.
Well, I want you to look it up. Right. And like I got Michael McDonald today. On my other bottle, it says Psalms 144:1. God, please strengthen my hands for battle, my fingers for war.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've put that on thing. I put that on there. So yeah, he's.
Yeah, he
just rolled right off
that one. We got Pastor Bo's going to drop this on our cut.
See, look, I got him.
I'm surprised he didn't know.
He loves the Lord. He's a man of God, and he's still got to look this. We don't all know what every scripture is, but look, it's like getting a toy out of a box of cereal.
I do know Proverbs 24:11, but 24:16 is a tough one. But do you have different scriptures on different bottles?
Yes, each one of them is different. Even the almonds are what Psalms. 25:11 or whatever, it's like at the end times the kingdom of God will be, you know, wanted by violent men, like meaning it's worth something, it's worth fighting for. That's in the bottom corner of the
So what'd you get, Bo? What is it?
It says, let me give you the you like 24:16.
NIV. Wait, you got 21:16, it's 24:16. That got AC, man.
He's probably going, what kind of crazy scripture is this?
So you got the vitamins as well.
Liquid vitamins. My daughter couldn't, she's 9 years old, 8 at the time, she couldn't take swallow pills. I said, that's it. I've got to get on this liquid vitamin. We jumped right on it. She can now take a swig of it, a drink of it. It tastes good. Yeah. But it blows away any liquid vitamin that's out there. There's no caffeine or any nastiness. Everything that's in there is the highest grade quality. The omegas, 3, 6, 9, the fish oils are high grade. They're not like from Subic Bay or some toxic river. There's 6 enzymes in there where everybody else has 2 or 3. There's mangosteen. I mean, it's endless.
Yeah.
You take that, it will change your life. The way you feel, when you run out of it, you won't like the way you feel when you run out of it. So it just needs to be refrigerated after you open it. You just take a capful, shake it up, take a capful.
Man.
Your hair and nails will grow. It'll be better than any prenatal woman could take. So
I'm excited.
If you're not pregnant, you might get pregnant.
Yes.
Okay, ready for the scripture?
Yeah, yep. Wait, hold on. Wait, okay. What is it?
The scripture is, for though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes.
There you go.
There you go.
Kind of think we heard that today somewhere in when we were at a juvenile hall, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Fall down. And I think Joe was saying that.
And then you also mentioned the almonds. You got the almonds.
Yeah, the energy almonds. That's this the energy pill that I have. Some people don't want to take pills or a drink. So we had an idea about an energy bar or something like that. And my friend Ben Hardest or whatever, he kind of came up with this idea, and we were tossing it around. How about an energy almond? Energy, that's crazy. Anyone who hears it thinks it's a crazy idea, but everybody loves almonds. They're healthy, you know, they're kosher. So we took this pill of mine, which if you crack open the pill, it's all natural, but it doesn't taste good. It took a while to cover up that taste, which is infused in the almond. And we had to do even a dark chocolate at first. Dark chocolate's healthy for you, opposed to the milk chocolate. So we pretty much covered everything. And we use that flavoring to cover up that aftertaste. No one wants, you know, you get an aftertaste in a Red Bull or a Rockstar or something like that, and you're kind of cool with that because you kind of have expectation, like, well, I can't be tasting, you know, like it's a soda or something because I know it's going to deliver this energy kick or whatever. So the same thing with the almonds, except I didn't want any slight hint of anything after bad taste or aftertaste or anything at all in your mouth. So we dialed those in. We use the highest grade dark chocolate. Comes out of Guana out of Africa. He's a company, Merrick, out in Hollister. It costs a little bit more the way they put it together, and it is just dialed in. So you can eat 3 or 4 almonds if you want out of the like 16 to 20 in a bag, and it's equivalent to 1 pill, which lasts 8 hours. So I just wouldn't eat it at night before you're going to go to bed or too late in the day. But you can kind of, a woman sitting in a cubicle or something, or someone's got an inside job, you just maybe 3 or 4 at a time, and you know, you're getting that craving kind of taken care of with the dark chocolate and still feel good about yourself, you know?
What made you want to go down that route, like the almonds? Like that's something different.
You got the energy field, right? And the biggest, and it's not just for young kids that want to bounce off the walls and do backflips with their dirt bikes and all that stuff. The number one selling energy drink market is the AA, whatever, the retired, whatever, AARP or something like that. So everybody's into the energy stuff. I mean, I guess the economy's so bad, you got younger people moving home with their parents. The parents got to help watch the grandchildren. There's not enough hours in the day. Everybody's running ragged. So they're grabbing these energy drinks. Rockstar, Amp, Sobe, Nas, Monster, Red Bull. They swing a big hammer out there in the market of, you know, energy drinks. So for me to come up with this new energy drink, even though it says Fight Labs or whatever on there, it's going to be kind of hard to compete with those guys. So how about if I come in through a different door and I give you a better feeling out of my energy, like, and if I can sell you what I have, get you to try it, which there's no crash, you're not nervous or shaky or anything. It's mainly a focus factor thing. It was for the fighters because they have ADD, cuts that out. So now they don't have to take Adderall and whatever all these other things, you know, these amphetamines or something to focus. And I give them something healthy, and you know, God has my back on that. It's a great product. How can I get that to you and show you that that feels better than drinking the Red Bull or the Rockstar or whatever? I guarantee you're going to feel better because that's just high doses of caffeine, the cheaper products. Caffeine's super cheap, so that was just up the milligrams. I got a tiny bit of caffeine in there in my energy product, the almonds or the pill, the Adrenal XR, and it's less than a cup of coffee. It's other things that I use. So you're never nervous or shaky, not antsy, and, you know, you can be remain professional in any field you're in. Because you're not sitting there shaking and, you know, looking all thwacked out. Like, out.
You know, I ran into Alan Fisher from...
The arm wrestler.
The arm wrestler, yeah, from Game of Arms. And he had asked me if I had seen you in a while. I was like, no, you know, I haven't been up to Modesto in a bit. But he's like, man, I love those almonds. I got to get some, you know, I got to get some more of those. And
he was at our Bible study, came into town, and it was funny because we had John Pritkin, the strong man guy there, and Shamrock was there, and Alan Fisher was there. And, hey, Ben was like kind of pushing me. Hey, give him some of your stuff. Give him to Alan Fisher. So I said, okay. You know, and he's older. He's, 60 years old or something?
Yeah,
and I said, okay. So I remember offering him something. I left him with some. Okay, yeah, I'll try it out later. You know, I got this event coming. I go, yeah, we'll try it as soon as possible because it could really help you out and change your game and change your life. It took him a minute. He didn't try it. And then he came down again. Ben's like, hey, you need, I'm like, yeah, I already tried to give him stuff. So he didn't really believe in supplements because they're kind of all the same, you know what I mean? Everybody's about making money.
And he's like really natural about it.
Yeah. So once he tried it, it changed everything. It changed his training. It changed his game, his focus. He felt like he was 21 in the gym again. So there's nothing bad. He didn't have his heart racing. It wasn't this going on. And the supplements shouldn't do that to you. They shouldn't hinder what you're trying to do. They shouldn't ruin your workouts. Oh, I took this drink and... oh, I didn't feel right, and then I haven't trained for 2 days. That's not what supplementation is supposed to do, you know.
Now, is any of this stuff, like, stuff that's tested for, like, in, you know, now they're doing all the drug testing? And
my products are NCAA compliant. Like, the FDA doesn't get in where they have to, you know, FDA approved or whatever. Right. And people don't really care about that because look at chemotherapy, radiation. That's all approved by the FDA, but other people have gotten healed from cancer and whatnot by going a healthy route, you know, and eating right and doing things like that. So people don't really care about FDA stuff. So once again, this isn't a rule of mine where, you know, I'm glad or not glad that it has to be FDA approved. But what I do is make sure everything is manufactured in a GMP practice, good melt, good practice manufacturing, and that it's done of highest quality. And it's NCAA compliant. So, yeah, you can be in the UFC and not worry about getting tested and getting busted. Uh-huh. You can work at any job, military, whatever, and you don't have to worry about it. I got your back. I got it taken care of. You shouldn't be stressing about that stuff. Not passing a drug test or, hey, does this have hormones in it or does this do this? Uh-huh. My protein, oh, my mom's a diabetic. Oh, she's gluten. Is there any gluten in there? You know, I've got that cistern's disease. With. Nope. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. It's good for everybody.
Now, as a businessman, what are the ups and downs of you? Because you're hands on with all of this. Is there like what are the peaks and valleys of this? Because there's got to be like, man, you know, the manufacturer didn't do this, or I can't get into certain stores, or you know, what are the challenges of being
the challenges? And that's why I rely on the business. I like you heard in the last interview and what Michael said. He heard me saying out at a juvenile hall today. It's like, I do what God wants me to do. I'm obedient, so I don't rely on my own understanding. Like, I don't wake up tomorrow and go, okay, this is what I'm going to do with the business, and this is what has to be done, and this is my plan. The plan is there is no plan. I take care, today, that was taking care of God's business, I figured. Yeah. We're talking to these boys that really need help, that really have no structure, that really have no guidance, that really have no faith in anything, and no one cares about them, and tell them that there is somebody that does that. So if I'm taking care of God's business, he's taking care of my business. So each week and each month, the business grows. I'm not the biggest business out there, or as corporate-wise, the biggest and the most popular, but it is the best. It's the highest grade. I have 13 products. Nothing can compare to that, not even close. And so that's what I do with the business. I just promote, Fight Labs, and this is what it's about. I have a target market, and each month it goes into a broader and wider spectrum of that market. What isn't normal is that it's not in GNC and this store, vitamin shop or whatever, because like I said, they're there to make money. They got to keep the doors open. And so they want to sell you as much as they can at this and that with the best margins. They really don't care if they're selling you the best product or if you're not going to like it, or if a female goes and buys a jug of protein, if it tastes bad and she's not going to finish it. They don't care about that.
Yeah.
And they don't really care if you come back. Yeah, they'd like you to, but they don't have a high market, in a rate of people on return sales. So if you're going to sell someone that's bad, they're not going to come back and buy another one. So where would you have no, sustaining power? Online, when you order my stuff, people have no problem. Once they try it, military is a prime example. One guy will order, and within 2 to 3 weeks, possibly a month at the most, you watch the rest of the platoon from that same address and that same camp order.
Wow.
So they saw one guy do that, and they all know each other's business, right? They know everything you're doing. They're bunking with you. They know, and each day they think they're going to possibly die or not live again because they're over there in war, Afghanistan, Iraq, and all that. And they got scripture on here, too, so I constantly get feedback. Thanks, Dan, for making a great product. Oh, man, thanks, Dan. Thanks for the hat and the shirt, the Fight Labs. We love everything about it. We even love the scripture on there. Man, we do a lot of praying over here. Man, I was an atheist before I got in the military, or my friend got blown up, or, sent home with his legs blown up. So all of a sudden, they're in tune with everything. So whether it be God, their bodies, appreciating each day to the fullest. So Fight Labs, I'm not worried about trying to get into every one of these socially accepted stores.
Yeah.
But people call all those stores every day, like at least 25 times a week. Those stores walk people. They call or walk in and say, do you have Fight Labs? Do you have Fight Labs? No, we got something better. No, you don't have something better. That's a lie.
Yeah.
People Google and look things up. They're not dumb. They can educate themselves with their phone immediately. So if you're selling them something, you're lying, they're going to know you're lying.
I mean, I'm not the smartest dude at all. And most of the stuff on here, I wouldn't know.
That's why I'm not sitting here trying to impress anybody with all of these big names. You just need to trust me. And in the reality of it, one of my taglines is all you got to do is try it. If you try it, you're hooked, you're done, you're going to take it, it's going to change your life.
But I'm saying, how do you get into, you had to have
Well, I was a bodybuilder, and so we didn't have an issue with sticking things in our body, trying this. I put 22 cans of tuna in the blender with some apple juice.
Oh, wow.
And blend it up. That's Tell crazy. Me you can drink that. Yeah, so no. you're kind of out there.
But I'm saying, how do you, you sit in a lab with.
a lot of people I went to high school with, we just see you with glasses on and a hairnet. It's not rocket science to me. I know what the body needs. It's like a car. It needs gas. You got to put water in the radiator. There's an electrical system. Our body's the same way. I know if we race stock car and we, all those three of us here have a car and we're out on the NASCAR on the Indy 5, whatever it is, are you going to bring, say he wants to bring a gallon of unleaded gas. We're going to look at him and laugh and go, we can't put that in the car, man. I know, but I just want to bring this, but I got it for free. It's 5 gallons of unleaded gasoline. We can't use that. We're running top fuel here. And it's going to make a difference. The tires on the car that day, how hot the track is, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
And we're not even NASCAR guys, but we know that. Same thing with your body. What you put in it is how it's going to perform. And so now it becomes a lifestyle. And if I do all the work for you and you trust me and you have faith in me because I haven't disproved anybody wrong yet, you try it, it's going to change your life. And it's not outlandishly priced.
But it has to be at some point where you sit in a lab with some mad scientists.
Say if we're making cookies, are we just going to order just regular chocolate chips? Or say, no, we got to get those Nestle's chocolate chips. And, I want this grade of chocolate. Yeah. So we know chocolate chip cookies get chocolate chips. But we could use any level or any grade of chocolate chips. Are they all powdery white looking like we got them on sale because they're ready to be expired? So yeah, okay, protein is protein. Well, no. So whey concentrate, even though it sounds all complex and awesome, it's not. It's like spackle. It doesn't mix up well. It's a low grade of the whey. It has to be whey isolate. And then we're allowed to write whey isolate 100%, and yet on the back lie to you and mix it with other proteins and whey's. So no, whey isolate 100%, put whey 100 isolate 100%. Don't mix it with whey concentrate or casein or whatever. So these people want to lie, and they don't have a problem lying to you because they're just trying to get your money. I don't lie. I put the highest grade of whey in there. I put the highest branch chain amino acids, and it makes a difference. If we're out having drinks, say at a bar, for lack of a better excuse, does it make a difference? If we're drinking vodka and I order you a Sky Vodka or a Kettle One, tomorrow morning you're going to have a headache. Tomorrow morning you're going to have a headache if you
Kettle One.
Okay, if you drink the Sky Vodka. So that's why it's called top shelf and bottom shelf. It's in everything else. It's in cars, automobile, everything. It makes a difference. And that's why you order higher grade stuff or, you know, a steak isn't a steak, you know.
Yeah. No, yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah, so yeah, I know these other people, it's not that I'm smarter than them, they decide to skimp or only go so far or only use a certain grade of something. Or say they do all of those things wrong. Now what have you got? And they put a sexy label on there, something that attracts you. You're like, yeah, this looks good.
How about a sexy guy?
That guy's hot. And
so who does your marketing for you? Because I know, I mean, that is a cool... That is a cool logo.
The labels were all like this, and this will probably stay, but, and as I revamped them, I don't change the product.
He's got a cool
I started going
lion.
With this, yeah, this label, this logo. And see how it's all the flat black now? This is the only one that's kind of gloss, but it's that satin black. Yeah. And then each one of them is going to have a lion head, not just the lion body. Turned it a different thing. So like when this becomes this like that, the eyes will be red on the lion, and the lion's head will be shaped probably, you know, and it's going to be growling and whatnot. So as each one it goes through, it's black satin with the lion head on there. And
I really like the tagline where you're using the vitamins. That's,
yeah, that's a really cool tagline. Well, the fighters, you know, everything's a gimmick, right? So even, you know, Fight Labs, a lot of people haven't carried the product because they're like, oh, Fight Labs? No, we just have older women here that swim in the swimming pool, and we do, you know, a water aerobics or something. So they would kind of detour from a company called Fight Labs, even though it was awesome, until they tried it. Then they wouldn't care, and they saw the results. So what were you saying, the tagline?
Yeah, that vitamins.
Oh, yeah. So when I made the liquid vitamin, a lot of the jugs that aren't going to just normal person, that go to the fighters, they have a chrome thing here with a fist, and it says vitamins. And the fighters love saying it, like they're hashtagging this or that, or getting on social media, like, yeah, I took my vitamins this morning, you know.
I like that.
You know, vitamins. And so you start off the day, and we're all social. We're all about, you know, feeling good and making each other laugh and having a good day and smiling. So it's just another thing in your day. Yeah, I took my vitamins by fighting the cager on the stage. Results you can see and feel, you know. So
are you working with any current UFC fighters?
I have over 70 fighters. CrossFit's really big right now. You know, they think they're a special type of person and whatnot, and then all this paleo diets and whatnot. So it's right up their alley, especially for the fighters too. They think they're special too. Well, they train a certain way, so they know what they need. They need, you know, like that focus factor thing I have. It is thermogenic. They do lose weight on it. It is a focus factor thing. Cuts out their ADD and gives them 8 hours of energy without a crash or being nervous or shaky. So, what?
I need some of that.
Yeah.
What is that?
You I just bought that. Mine. Mm. That's mine right
yeah, now. Yeah, this is his stack right here. Yeah.
It was. Yeah, I'm taking that home. So, would you consider getting back in the ring?
No, not at all. I'm that chapter's gone, and I'm even good with all of those chapters. Getting on the stage, guest posing, competing.
How many magazine covers have you been on? Do you even know that? That's because you've got some.
No, I've been lately. I've been people ask me, hey, do some Throwback Thursday stuff. Put that on social media. Right. See, we grew up. I didn't have any. You didn't dare walk into a gym with the camera and take pictures of yourself. Yeah. Wouldn't you guys be laughing? I mean, we all grew up, you know, I think in our era we grew up.
Nowadays, it's like...
You don't brag on yourself. If you're good, people will brag on you. And, you know, this guy was in the gym today taking pictures. He wasn't only just posing in the mirror. Now it's socially acceptable, whether you look good or not. Everybody's taking self with it. But it's socially acceptable. I got it. I still haven't done it once. I haven't taken one selfie. Nothing against anybody.
You're not a copycat.
And so, I'll do some throwback Thursdays, put that on, and people are like, whoa, you look like, man, that's great. I'm like, yeah. So that kind of motivates him. That's cool. It's not like I'm going through some midlife crisis or something like that. I got other things going on. That chapter's closed. I don't mind digging it up and sharing it with people. There's so many other things God's got on my table for me that I need. So I wake up and I got my daughter, I got Fight Labs. I'm like, look at this business. At any time I want, I can sit down, get out a pad and a pen, and come up with and formulate a new product. I could come up with anything tomorrow. And then within 2 weeks, whatever I wrote down, have that already being manufactured. And then I'll be just working on the artwork for that product, and then it's out. But my claim to fame, and that I won't lie about, is it doesn't come to market. Fight Labs does not make anything that's not better than anything else out there. And not just by a pinch or a smidgen or something. It's above and beyond. So it doesn't get produced unless it's the best. And no one has argued that yet or anything, because if they do, they'll walk away with their head down and they'll just look like they were a naysayer or uneducated. So no one will argue. This is the best supplement. Best supplements on the planet, hands down.
I figure it's got to be a competitive market, too.
Oh, huge.
Do you have any other companies, like, hating on you or, like, anybody talking smack?
You'll love this. I'm glad you brought that up. So we only use, like, two or three labs to test these things, you know. We don't just use any labs. So it's labs that test food and things like that. So I know a few of the guys that work there. And so they'll call or text or something. Hey, Dan, Sports Farmer, Muscle Farmer, or Muscle Tech sent some of your products in there. They're testing your products. They want us to test them. They want lab results on them. I'm like, which products? All of them. So they'll purchase online, full pop, my products, send it to the lab and test them. To what? See if I'm lying. This goes on and on. And they're angry or whatever. It's like, don't hate. You decided what you were going to do. You had a chance to take it all the way to the top. You decided to only go so far, which nothing against anybody. This is the route I wanted to take. This is the target market I wanted. This is what I wanted to do. This is how I sleep well at night. This is what I promised God I was going to do.
Good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so now...
It is what it is. So you're either a man of your word, or you get going and you get caught off track, or you get off that path, and now you're skimping on. So, oh, no, we caught him lying. He's only putting half of the amount of the protein he said he was. And this happens all the time.
Did you have to get, like, any kind of mentor or anything, like, to, because I figured to jump into this kind of industry, like, you got to have some kind of background or know somebody that has a background that was telling you, yeah, man, do this, go with these people, have them test this, or you're nuts, don't go into that market.
I had a stereo shop, Audio Outlaws. They did it to me then.
Oh, that's the place right here?
Yeah.
That was yours?
And bodybuilding, you'll never be able to go to the USA. And I'd laugh and joke with them, kind of go with them, like, yeah, what if I do couples with the female, and we do couples? And then I could go to the USA, the America, or, you know, the Nationals. And they'd laugh, yeah. They were naysayers. They were haters. They said I wasn't good enough. You know, just like Michael Jordan, Lucille Ball, where they weren't good enough. You got kicked off the drama team. You didn't make the basketball team. I didn't know all those stories yet. So I did the same thing. I proved these people wrong. Boom, first call out at the USA. Men's super heavyweight. At 5'11", they didn't even have a super weight. When I did it that year, they had to make up a super heavyweight class.
Nice.
Yeah, 230 on up. But then they wanted another guy to win, this Melvin Anthony, the smaller guy, and he didn't make 230. So that day they dropped it down for him because he's a favorite to 225. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's some politics here. Right. So same thing with my stereo shop. Oh, we got like 15 stereo shops. I go, there won't be one like mine. I had Ken Shamrock in there every week, right? All these wrestlers. Football players, Ronnie Lott, all these guys, you know, Tracy Toyota. I had all of their vehicles, putting TV screens in the headrest, cameras, everything, all these football players' wives. There was nothing like Audio Outlaws. We did custom work, and we did good work. Then it's, oh, it's supplement line. You know, I guess I listened to that teacher years ago that said, keep your eyes on your own paper, hold your own road. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You just focus on what you're doing. I do it. I have God's blessing. I don't want to do anything without God's blessing. If he's not in it, I'm not in it.
Yeah.
So,
what's the best piece of advice you've gotten in this industry?
Don't be like everybody else. They've all got caught lying. People are tired of being lied to. And whether everything gets exposed, you both believe that, right? Yeah. It's, yeah. Isn't that biblical too?
Yep.
Everything, yeah, what's spoken in a dark room will be expelled from the rooftops. Mm-hmm. That's not a lie. Everything that's written in that book seems to be the truth. And I don't want to try to, you know, see if that's ever not going to be real. So it's because it's not. So with this, everybody else lies, even when they don't have to or takes advantage of somebody. Like I said, these smartphones are smarter than the dumb people are. So they get yep. their thumb out, they click on that thing, and now they'll see if I'm lying, because I will get exposed. And I don't think God will let me put scripture on there from him or whatever if I'm a liar and I'm literally just trying to rip people off, right? I think I'm going to get exposed about what's in my heart and what I'm really about. But this ain't about me, So that's why the business is so blessed. That's why it is the best. That's why it will go to the top and will be second to nobody. Is it taking its time or only going so fast or pretty fast or whatever? That's not my doing, guys. I just get up, I do my thing, and I know where it's going to go. And I usually don't do anything unless I do it to the fullest. This elevator is on its way to the top, and I don't want to get out until it reaches the top so I can see what's going on.
Yeah, and you recently got a lot of exposure. with the Ken Shamrock fight that just came up.
Oh, big time. I was at Bellator. Scott Coker used to own Strike Force, which is a San Jose-based area. He sold that, and Dana White, the UFC, said he was going to keep everything, but he's always bought everything and put it to sleep. Well, he did the same thing with Strike Force. And so Scott Coker, Strike Force, bought Bellator, and he put on a big event out there, which everybody loves because it's about entertainment. And we still want to see those old names, Ken Shamrock's name, Kimbo Slice, whoever. Doesn't mean they're the best in the world, but we like to turn on the TV and watch that. So Bellator event is out there in St. Louis. Ken got ready at age 51 to fight Kimbo Slice. They got to be at whatever weight they wanted, 260 and whatever, 220. And, you know, it was all ordained, you know, in that organization. We went out to St. Louis. Ken just did what I said. He was on my regiment. He trained hard. He did his style of training and everything. Me and him trained for 2 months. Prior to him going off to San Diego to do just MMA training. So we put some muscle on him, got him all conditioned. He took Fight Lab supplements. Proof was in the pudding. He felt good on him. He never felt so good. That's his words. You know, Dan, I feel like I'm in my 20s. I got energy. I got this. I got focus. And you guys saw his body. He walked out on that catwalk, walking to the ring. Bellator, 2.4 million viewers, only second that day to the Open, the golf tournament. And it was free TV, so you had all of these sponsors. Everybody wanted to fight it because they all know who Kimbo Slice is, you know, the ghetto superstar, this or that, or whatever. It's free TV, so people who don't even know who top mixed martial artists are, like John Bones Jones, they know who Kimbo Slice is. Mm-hmm. They know who Ken Shamrock is, WWF superstar, wrestler, world's most dangerous man. So they all tuned in. Wow, that's crazy to have that many viewers on free TV. People don't have money or want to spend money or get pay-per-view. But they all tuned in. You could feel it, and it was quite an event. Ken at 51 walked out there. And he had the best physique.
Oh, yeah.
And could fight, you know.
I know Bo had some questions about that fight.
Bo, let's.
give me your thoughts on the fight. Without hurting any feelings or whatever, just.
Thoughts
about,
on the
about,
fight.
How about this? How about this?
Yeah.
How about tell us what it was like to be there and cheer on your friend? Because knowing how you. Love him and being the older brother type, wanting to get in the ring.
Yeah.
We talked about Tito Ortiz. Yeah. What was that like?
I'll tell you what, it was a big production, the getting ready, Ken doing the Rocky thing, and it wasn't for show. It was all Ken. He was feeling good. He was in it. It wasn't about the money. There was a point in his life. It wasn't even a midlife crisis. That's past, right? Isn't that like 40 years old or something? So we're past that. We're in another chapter. Heads down after he leaves me, goes to San Diego. He's in a trailer, no running water. He's just got my supplements in there, some food, whatnot, and living in a trailer, doing the Rocky thing, getting up, going and training, doing his CrossFit stuff, you know, his ground game, his stand-up. So he really was just in tune with what he was doing. And so you could watch his walk through getting ready for this event, and it wasn't about anything else. There's no anger there or anything. He's... how his life has changed from how he's did things in the past. So he goes to the event. It's a big production. Like I said, Scott Coker knows what people like. They like entertainment. Just because the top five in the world aren't there or whatever, doesn't mean you don't want to watch those names.
I noticed it was more like a It was more like a WWE.
Absolutely. And this last one, you notice how they brought, what's his name, from Pride in? Yeah. We got the pyrotechnics and the lady that's on the, she's the commentator, and she's like, Ken Shamara! And it's like this totally crazy. It's like back in the Pride days. That's production and the pyrotechnics and the, you know, the runway, the catwalk coming out there. So Ken, same thing. He got to bring some wrestlers there.
Yeah.
He, Simon, you know, Simone Bonet or whatever, yeah, from Modesto. She's got that voice off her album Risk. She opened up with that song Animal from the Road Warriors. The Animal, WWF, yeah, was out there with the spikes on. People were just sitting here like, whoa, what is, so I'm down there on this catwalk with all these affluent people that paid, you know, to sit down in front there. I'm not walking with King like I normally am. He's got his family members.
Yeah.
He brought them all out, even though commission only lets two or three in the corner. Those were his boys, Ryan, Connor, Sean Shamrock. So I'm just down here right at his ankles and staring up at his shorts. It's just Fight Labs on the side and whatever his other sponsors are. So, man, I just had chills. It was great. It was all, it was in a different environment and atmosphere and reason than I've ever been down next to that cage. And I just, no matter what was going to happen, win or lose, we'd already won.
Yeah.
People were getting paid well. Everybody's happy. There's some animosity there, some hype, whatever. It covered every emotion I had running through my body. And then, you know, the outcome was Ken didn't stick the submission for whatever it was and whatever was said or whatever. Hey, they put on a great show. They're both older. Everyone was entertained. Were you not entertained?
Yeah.
Not one person would debate that or argue it. They were all entertained. You want to say, hey, these guys are old? Yeah, you're right. They are old. Are they in better shape than you? Yeah, that's probably why you're mad. Can they kick your butt? Yeah, yeah, they can. Yeah. So shut up, sit back down, enjoy the show. We know everybody wants to mouth off and say something, be a part. But
like being at that show, how would you say the game has changed? Because the industry is different now than it was,
man,
early on. Like, well, what's changed about it? What's the state of it right now?
Well, first and foremost, no one can deny that the rules haven't changed. Back in the day, there were no rules.
Yeah.
And that's what attracted everybody. So the world seems to want no rules at all now, right?
But thanks, McCain.
So you have rules, but the guys are so much more educated. And not that they're smarter. It's just evolving, learning from the forefathers, Ken Shamrock, Frank Shamrock, you know, all these Guy Mezger, Hoyce Gracie, all these guys, Randy Couture, that you watched each style come, and each style was win for a while. The wrestler would win for a while. The striker would win for a while. Every class, every style has won for a time. You know, it's like anything else in the world. Everything is on top for a time. So not one thing works. You got to know all of these things. It's like going traveling across the country and only know how to speak English. You're not going to get too far. It's going to take you a while to order a sandwich when you land in Japan or something. So if you don't know how to speak Japanese, so you got to get in that ring at any time. Your body movement in whatever position has to change from striking to Muay Thai to Judo to Greco to freestyle wrestling to Jiu-Jitsu, Sambo, whatever it is. Exactly. It all gets used. You see in the clinch against the females when Ronda Rousey's right there, and the other girl has a Brazilian clinch, and all of a sudden she interjects her judo hips, Olympic judo hips, and she has that girl up in the air that has shoot the box, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, and clinching. And all of a sudden she looks like she's uneducated and she's never even been in the clinch.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
So what are your thoughts on Ronda? Her success.
Ronda is at a whole nother level. Ronda is where things need to be. Once again, Dana always runs his mouth, and usually I'm not gonna say nothing bad, but he just runs his mouth. He said, we'll never see women in the octagon in the UFC. You'll never see
gold
the light.
Mine.
We won't have lightweights. It's in the WC, which we own. We're not going to have bing. So that's fine. We've all ran our mouths, and that's why we don't run our mouth, because you never say never and all that stuff. So you got Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey is the reason why the UFC is as big as it is right now with all that's going on with what Dana's doing and everything. People are tuning in specifically for Ronda. The guys are getting in trouble. Someone's doing drugs. This one's getting – Nick Diaz is off for 5 years.
Yeah.
Our champion's off. This one's off. This one's in rehab. So, whoa, good thing Ronda Rousey is there.
Saved it.
Yeah, and Scott Coker behind Bellator. So Rhonda is so good. Her mom is an Olympic athlete, which taught her from birth pretty much, waking her up in the morning as a child and saying, armbar, 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 and she'd have to, in her sleep, put her mom in an armbar. She was taught Olympically. Rhonda cannot be beat until you bring someone of the same equal caliber in. So if you go find a Russian girl that's equally that good, an Olympic sambo or something like that, we don't have a fight until you do that. Who they keep throwing her is like throwing someone to the wolves. You could take, what's her weight class? What they say, hey, Dan, is she going to win this fight? Yeah, first round, bang, bang, bang. And I keep guessing them. And they're like, well, and then what? And I'm like, well, she should, after she wins this fight tonight, nullify the belt and fight Dilichek. So they go, well, you really think she could beat the guys? And I'm like, yeah. Do you think she'll beat, what's her name?
Mayweather.
Yeah, she could beat Mayweather.
Yeah.
Not standing there striking with him, but, you know.
But, once yeah, again, ground.
Yeah. He's got to clinch with her sooner or later.
Yeah.
And, but, yeah, the big Brazilian girl, everybody wants them to fight her. What's her name?
Was that the transgender?
No, girl? Not that one. The other one, that's, they want her to fight because she's undefeated. The one that beat up our girl pretty bad, Gina Carano. We didn't want to see that fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, if that girl has to come down and fight her, she will win. But if they have to do a catch weight or Rhonda has to go up to her weight, she won't win. But where Rhonda's at right now, until she gets with an Olympics caliber athlete, this is going to keep going this way until she's 50 years old.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And so now with the change, with Reebok taking over, what's your thoughts on that? Because it kind of leaves the fighters kind of losing out.
It's the worst thing that's happened since the last worst thing that's happened. We've already tried these things. Once again, it's like stuff the government's done. You already have this monopoly and you're forcing whatever on the people. MMA was about freestyle, free speech, being you, not you know, being like boxing. Like, we don't have a promoter there like Don King setting up fights, or it wasn't about a money or getting you to take a fall or a worked fight. It was in your heart. I'm a fighter. This is who I am. This is what I represent. Reebok has came and taken that away. You've just have this corporate. You know, we had it in the IFL. I was assistant coach to Ken. We were the Lions. I remember there was the Raptors, the Lions, whatever. So there's all of these. Boss Rutten was a coach. Frank Shannon was a coach. We had these uniforms, teams. We were trying to go after the market of the suit and tie business guy that got off work. It's on Wall Street, and he likes drinking a beer at a nice, you know, bar and grill or something. They didn't fly. They didn't like the team. We're doing the same thing here, like government and everything does. Take away this, do that, put you in this. Immediately, we got rid of Stitch. Stitch has been around forever, the cut man.
Yeah.
Stitch made money, out, and he loved what he was doing. They all had sponsors on his thing, and that's how he made money. They'd give him money and put sponsors in, and no one had a problem with that. Now it's, nope. And Stitch spoke up and said, hey, man, it kind of cut into my, and he was just kind of talking to everybody like, yeah, I can't, sorry to hurt anybody's feelings here, but I can't put this on there anymore. I can't. Dana, so opening your mouth, it's free speech. Let's get rid of him. Let's fire him. And you're getting rid of everybody. You lose one fight, or he doesn't like Chuck Liddell to fight at this age. You know, you tell everybody what to do. You get rid of him. We don't like seeing that. Where's the freedom in that? Where's the liberty? So you got this corporate, they're coming out in all the same uniform now and everything. I don't like it. Nobody likes it. There's not one person that likes it. Is there pros and cons to it? Yeah, like anything, you can find a con in any, a pro in anything, maybe at least one thing. I don't like it. It's taking money from the fighters.
Yeah.
What happened to the young kid, or, you know, Nick D is coming from Stockton and representing Stockton Chevrolet or whatever it was over there, whatever, and everybody behind you. Now you're tuning in. He's walking in with this jumpsuit and it says Reebok, looks like a Mitsubishi emblem or something, I don't know. Yeah. It's just so cookie cutter, generic, corporate. Like we're watching, I don't know, one of these movies or something.
Now, what's your thoughts also on? I mean, bringing this up, the 5-year suspension, and you know, knowing that you're going to be tested now, and the way everything's working. What's your thoughts on someone like, you know, Diaz, he goes and gets tested, and it's, I think it's his third time.
Yep.
Getting tested.
Yep.
Knowing, like, dude, I'm going to get tested for this, and he just continued to kind of.
I may be wrong, but I don't care what anybody thinks. I'll stand up in front of the whole world, and I'll say, listen, before you guys all get excited and talk about how weed or, you know, THC or whatever, cannabis isn't, you know, and alcohol's worse and cigarettes. You're right. Okay. There are rules to everything.
Yeah.
Nick Diaz does not like keeping the rules. A lot of people don't like keeping the rules. Everybody, a lot of people fight authority. He's just Nick Diaz 209 and from whatever, this is who I am. We can all respect that.
Yeah.
When a commission, when a governing body stands up and says, you will not, like DUIs.
Yeah.
You get your first one, this happens. You get your second one, that you get your third one. We're pulling your license, and you're going to sit in prison. We all understand that. Well, this guy did steroids, and he got a slap on the wrist. He just goes to rehab, or he got a 6-month suspension. This one gets cocaine, and he has to sign up for rehab and gets out the same day. That's not fair. You're right. What's not fair is if it's a drug, is a drug, that he kept scoffing in authority's face, if you will, I think.
Yeah.
And it's like you just said, it's a third offense. They have to do something, don't they? You're not getting it. If you get to keep doing it, the rest get to keep it. We have to make an example and say that there are rules, and we will not put up with you doing this to us like you do to everybody else, and I'll do what I want. No, you won't. We run the show, not you. You don't get up every morning and pay lawyers and do this and beat the street and do that and govern rules and deal with all this stuff. You just train. And then you're going to tell us that we're jokes? That's just what I think. I'm not for them or against them in that matter. Yeah. It is what it is. These are the facts. The truth is more important than the facts. The truth is you don't want to keep the rules. The facts are how much weed was in it. Weed doesn't help you perform. It actually hinders your performance. The truth is more important than the facts. The truth is, you're not keeping the rules. They made an example out of you. If they had to suspend you and take your money, then that's what they did. Yeah. If they want to renegotiate on that and deal with you, they're probably not going to do it because of your attitude. Right. Attitude is altitude, and you can get a lot in this life with a great attitude. I don't think he has a great attitude. I like Nick. I like Nate. But I would never run around with this business acting like that or doing this to anybody. Yeah. Or if the FDA tells me no more pro-hormones like they did, Dan Freeman, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Will not happen again. I apologize. I wasn't doing anything illegal, but if you say don't do this anymore, I'm not going to try to get away with it. Like, well, let's just see what I can get away with. I'm asking for trouble here and there with Caesar and with him.
In WWE, they started, it's been a few years now, but they started doing drug testing there now too, especially after... the stuff, not just Eddie, but I can't think of his name. Chris.
Jericho.
Who? Jericho. No, not Jericho. Why can't I not think of his name? He murdered his family.
Chris Benoit.
Chris Benoit.
You made me think of Chris Cyborg.
Yeah. They kind of look the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They kind of look the same. So, there was a lot of roid rage going on. Do you find any like? Steroid activity going on in UFC is there some of that?
Names down.
let's not sell anybody out. They're all taking steroids, every one of them.
Wow.
Would you believe me if I pointed to? Let's not be mean here.
That's a good question.
The worst physiques. Let's say we're looking at physiques in the UFC and MMA. I wouldn't think Tim Sylvia has one of the greatest physiques, or Barnett. Right? Phenomenal fighters, great fighters, belt holders. And then they get busted for steroids. You're like,
that guy?
He was taking steroids. His chest is all flabby. Looks like he needs a bra. I mean, they've all got, you know, Big Country. What? You mean pizza. You meant pizza, not anabolic steroids. You know what I mean? Come on. So Tiger Woods, it's just... in the industry, it's in the sport, it's about recovery. They train so hard. It's not, he may not have the genetics to look, you know, like Ken Shamrock or something, you know, with this great physique that everybody wants. Hitler used steroids. That's how they got all the way to, you know, Poland overnight in like 6 days and outran their
fuel and their food and everything, because they were on steroids. The recovery time, you need like 3 hours of sleep, you're recovered, you're recuperated. Everybody else is tired. That's why it's used. It's not necessarily used to look good and, you know, look great walking down the beach. So those guys, yes, they did get caught. They were taken. It's about training. They're training so hard. It's about recovery. So when I say everybody's taking it, there might be a couple guys that aren't. I know for a fact Michael McDonald's not, you know, not to sell him out. You know, hey, why did you say that? Yeah. But for the most part, you know what I'm talking about, you know. It's more in baseball, too. You know, most of those guys are taking it. Football, you know, I guarantee you they're all – but there's a few on there that aren't and that they don't want to, you know. It's like saying everybody smoked weed before. No, not everybody. There's some that haven't, you know.
I've never smoked weed before.
Yeah.
I have. Lots.
I haven't. I ate a brownie one time, so I ate it. But I still, to this day, dude, and people don't believe that I did.
I've done one brownie, and I'll never do that
same
again.
Here. I go, I would be the worst person on the planet if this were my thing to do. I would be worthless.
Yeah.
Two days on the couch.
Yeah, I'll never do that again. I'll tell you that much.
I give you a shot of ketamine like you were dead. Huh? You're just, I can't move.
That's exactly how it was. And I could not believe. I won't even get into it. Yeah. But I just, it was just not a good trip. Yeah, not a good trip.
Yeah, well, you got people that believe that not everybody's tried smoking weed, but you know, or whatever. So, hey, it's not true. So when I threw that out there, it wasn't to sell everybody up. But, hey, it's out there. That's why they're doing it. It's not just because it's cool or whatever. They need the recovery. They need to try, you know, they're training so hard. They're traveling. But
well, it's kind of a, I want to say like a mecca out here. Of just MMA fighters.
It's a hotbed, like you wouldn't believe. And why is that, you might ask? Shamrock, being in Lodi, the Lion's Den, and Frank Shamrock, he's got his own name, not just keep bringing up
Diaz kids. Brothers.
Yeah, the Diaz Brothers. The
Diaz Brothers.
Yeah. The Gracies are all out here. You got Caesar out here. Look, you got Mike McDonald from Oakdale. It's like
Dan Freeman.
Yeah, Dan who's Freeman's that guy? I mean, yeah. So people think, I mean, how can you be whatever? You think you got to be from a big town, Chicago, or this? No, look what we've done. The world's most dangerous man came out of Clements, Lodi, Stockton, whatever.
Yeah.
So that should be, you know, a heads up for, like, these kids we were talking to today. If I could have got more into it, I'd say, it doesn't matter where you're from. You can be anything you want. You don't have to be from Chicago. You know, it's like some gangster. You know where I'm from? I'm from church. I'm from... It doesn't matter where you're from. The best and the baddest in the world... We got the best rodeo stars out of small little local. It's not from Mesquite, Texas, and all this stuff.
Are you going to tell us where you're from?
Where are you from?
I am from South San Diego.
Oh.
That little place.
And it kind of brings it back to Ken Shamrock. I used to do some work with WCW back at the same time when Shamrock was with WWF.
Yeah.
Back in 97, 98. And I actually... went to Shamrock's grand opening in Chula Vista at the Lion's Den. And that day there was a fight. I keep forgetting what fight it was. But we ended up, I was with Conan. I don't know if you remember Conan, the wrestler.
Yep.
So I was with Conan, and Rey Mysterio was supposed to show up too to the grand opening. And he didn't go, so it was just me and Conan. And we go to Shamrock's grand opening. Then we end up back at Shamrock's house in Bonita.
Yeah.
And we end up hanging out, watching the fight there, and having some drinks, and just chilling. Yeah. And I won't even go into the rest of it, but it was cool to see him, like, you know, 16 years later, up here in Modesto, at a Bible study. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just full circle, man. It was awesome to see him again.
Isn't life funny?
Yeah. And then when he was in San Diego this last time, this guy that I went to school with, still a friend of mine, and he was kind of training my son a little bit too, Manny Manolo Hernandez. He was you know, working out with the
Hurricane.
The Hurricane, yeah. And I was like, dude, it just, you know, all South San Diego.
He was corning for Ken, and even walking out on stage for the weigh-ins and stuff. So that was Ken's main guy.
That's my boy.
I flew in and we went and grabbed a beer that night when I flew. I had like 16-hour flight for somebody, just for me, all the layovers and whatnot, just coming from here to St. Louis.
Me, him, and
Pete Williams. Pete had a beard and everything. We just kept looking. We were laughing, and he kept pulling up pictures back when he was, you know, he didn't even look the same.
No, I got a bunch of stories in Manolo too, but I won't even go there.
Yeah,
but anyway, man, you know, just being up here and just seeing everything you guys are doing, man, it's awesome. And you know, I wanted to focus on the entrepreneur side, but also on the influence side, what you guys are doing with Soldiers of the Cross and what you guys did today. Tell me a little bit about today, how that was for you.
Yeah, we got, like I said, our Bible study on Thursday nights. Used to be just been in Karen's house, and then the city gave us this over here in this not-so-nice area, if you will, the airport district in Modesto, and they just gave us this house. So we kind of put a little bit of elbow grease in it, and each one of us helped put up some drywall and this and that, and some tile and some carpet. And that is a nice house, but it's right in the middle of where we need to be doing stuff. There's a lot of heartache and pain and stuff out here and poverty. And that's where we need, you know, it's like Jesus, you know, going places, you know. It's the sick that need a doctor. Let's just not go in the nice places, you know.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know. So we got this here, and then so we, a lot of guys ride motorcycles, so they want to be a part of the Bible study thing, but like kind of segregate that to go out and do things. And not just this Toys for Tots, not to put anybody down, but Toys for Tots run once a year, and we get together and, you know, around Christmas and do that once a year. It's like, come on, man. So let's do something every month, every week. Let's put some, you know, let's serve. Let's do something. There's things right out here underneath your nose that need to be addressed and need attention. Today we went to juvenile hall. So I don't have a motorcycle anymore. You know, I've got a Ford Raptor. I can roll up in that just fine and look cool and whatever. But we all wear a vest once you've like been voted in and you're here for the same reason. We went out to juvenile hall. I mean, you know, there's a ton of kids out there that need guidance, they need structure, they need father figures. We're all different walks of life. One guy might be a biker, you know, got Michael McDonald. He's, you know, we all have the same beliefs. We all have God in our life. We all believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and he's our King. So we're not putting anybody else down. We're not about religion. We're not coming in, oh, you're Catholic, or you're there. We don't do that. We just come in, and we just share what happened to our lives. Those kids are so receiving of these things. There's some, we had to get badges, some of us, and go into, you know, level
max unit.
You got murderers in there at age 13, 14, 15, just waiting to go into you know,
prison,
CYA in another area, which is Ione, and then they might go out to Stockton and CYA from there or something. So they're just waiting. Every one of those kids thinks that this is their destiny. This is what's going on. So we get in there and share things which are all different, you know, Michael McDonald's life, my life, different age groups. Somebody's going to be able to relate to our story. And none of our stories were boring. Those kids, we had their eye contact. Yeah, we fed them. We did a barbecue, whatever, after we were talking and stuff. But they were thirsty, if you will, the latest word. They were thirsty for not the wrong things in life, not being thirsty for just what the life has to offer. You know, being parched, being thirsty is what that means. They want something. They want to know, is this where they're going to be sitting? Because they're right. Nobody cares about them. That's why they're there. No one wants to take the time, or if they need extra guidance, like in class, you go get tutored. In the real world, their parents don't have time. They're working or doing whatever. They don't have time to tutor them. If you're a problem, you get sent off to juvenile hall. You're doing whatever. So we come out there. We just talk to them about our lives, how God changed our lives. And not everybody's a heroin addict or a drug addict or went to prison. It's God came in my life and did this, or I was just unhappy, or I couldn't make things right, or I had it all and I still wasn't unhappy. I mean, there's different stories. And so I know we touch some of those kids out there. I know right now they're laying in their bunks, they're locked down, they're staring up at the ceiling. And I know for a fact at least 9 out of 10 of them are looking up and saying, hey, God, if you're there, if you really are there, if you are the one true God, then show me. Show me. They're not asking it nicely. They're just like, yeah, you don't care, God, so I know you don't care about me, so you're not going to. And then watch what God does. So he's knocking on their door.
I know when you guys asked, you know, altar call, when you guys asked if anybody wanted to receive Jesus,
yeah,
I think, 99.9% of everybody raised their hand.
Did you see that?
Including staff.
Yeah.
Staff as well.
Like you were handing out free ice cream cones on 110-day, right? Okay, who wants an ice cream cone? Instead of, okay, don't be shy, or, you know, don't worry, nobody's watching, you know, it's okay, or, you know, don't be embarrassed, or, you know, yeah, no, it was good, man. So we didn't think we were wasting our time out there anyways. We went out there under no condition other than what God wants us to do and giving back and taking care of his business. Mm-hmm. Each day he allows me to wake up and he keeps blessing me and my daughter. I know I don't deserve everything I have, so you go out there and do that. If you can make a difference there, the world wants to call it whatever. We give it different names, karma, pay it forward, whatever. Yeah. That's this right here, man. It's all God doing what he wants you to do. You know, what he's asking, being obedient, not relying on your own understanding. And we can't control his timing. We can't control what he's doing or his plan. But if you're just obedient, it outweighs anything and any higher education you can possibly do. And that's what these kids need to know. It's like he does care about you. There is someone out there. He's not just a figment of your imaginations. And if you give God a chance and, you know, behold, he stands and knocks at the door. If you should let him in, is the scripture,
yeah,
and he will come in.
That's right.
And so, like I said, they're laying there right now. You were out there. You were out there. You know the message we gave them. So what a great feeling. I get to go home tonight, and it's like, wow. I was given the opportunity to go talk to those kids, you know, and that they're not going to think that their life is, you know, we just keep breeding this.
Yeah.
The system. Right. The system does not work.
Right.
We all know that. The system does not work. You get put in the system, it doesn't work. They can only lock you down and tell you to be nice. But once you get back out there, no one's watching you. God is, though. God cares. Jesus cares. That's why he came here. That's why he died on the cross. And it's hard to understand, man. I know it sounds like some far-fetched mythological little whatever, but why would somebody do that for me? You're right. Why would somebody do that for you? But give it a chance. Watch what happens tonight. Hopefully those guys, you know, they're looking up or they're even hitting their knees and praying. God will come in like that. These lives will be changed. And then they'll be given testimonies on how the day their life changed when Michael McDonald, Dan Freeman, Joe Harmon, Bo Harris, all you guys.
So what other kind of ministry opportunities are you guys involved in? I know you guys do a ton of stuff, but just kind of scrape the surface a little bit.
San Francisco.
You guys do the
San
Francisco, Cambodia. You guys got a couple things, right?
Man, well, stuff will get introduced to us, and I don't even think about it. I'm like, yeah, count me in. Okay, we need some bunk beds in Russia for these orphans. Okay, I'll buy them 30 bunk beds. Let's go. Is it the way I look at it? It's not my money. It's God's money. And as soon as I think that way or not think that way and just do it, my business increases. It's blessed or whatever. We got an orphanage in Mexico. I'm not partial to a Mexican kid or a black kid or a Chinese kid or whatever. Those are orphans, man.
Yeah.
So monthly, we'll send stuff, or individually we send stuff, or, you know, if we bring it up to the group, hey, we need a little bit of extra money, or let's get them shoes. You don't have to individually pick out the child, know its gender, name, buy its shoes. Mm-hmm. Let's not get them hand-me-downs.
Right.
Let's send 80 pairs of shoes. Here's the sizes. 12 pairs of size 9, and 16 pairs of size 5. We go get them brand new shoes. This orphan's never had a Mexican or not. He's never had a brand new pair or whatever.
Yeah.
That makes a difference. So then we go to San Francisco. A lot of people, if you've never been there, there's the Tenderloin. And it's the nastiest, saddest, poverty-stricken, disease, drug-infested area, like, in the world.
Wow.
There's poorer places, but, I mean, altogether, it's those things equally. And it's all together, and there's so many populated whatever within a so many block area. I don't have the statistics like I used to. So we go in there. It's called City Impact. There was a mission built there, and we provide food. We donate stuff. We do it. We go into the area. We're embedded. It's like a bivouac, like an ant, you know, where ants build their thing. It's just you get inside, and you go from door to door. You ask what people need. What do you need? What do you need? You need food, clothing, whatever. Oh, I've got a rash. I don't have any medical. Okay, let's get you to a doctor. So we'll get out on the streets like at least once a year. It's called City Impact. And San Francisco on Jones Street in the Tenderloin, and we'll block off two or three, you know, blocks. We'll cut their hair, wash their feet, pedicures, manicures. I mean, like, not real, you know, just
stuff.
Doing hygiene.
Yeah.
Wash their animals, their dog, their cat, whatever. Bring food, feed them that day. Medical attention, like, you know, just dental stuff.
Phones, you guys get phones out there or something?
Bring clothes out there because we've got a little place in there with like a secondhand store. We bring that out that day and provide. Otherwise, there's always a secondhand store that hardly charges anything for stuff. So you're never, there's no reason to be without a hoodie or a pair of shoes or whatever. And We provide security. You know, we all got a bunch of vests on. It looked like a bunch of bikers or whatever, but it says Soldiers of the Cross.
I know, I think me and Bo are missing our vests.
Yeah, you guys got
to get jumped in.
We have to get jumped in, that's it.
I mean, everybody thinks I ride a motorcycle. I did in the past. I've had dirt bikes. But I don't need a motorcycle now to, you know, and I don't need...
10 speeds count?
I just show up. Soldier? Honda. Yeah, I'm a soldier.
I have a black Honda.
Yeah, I need to get one of those electric moped things. I'd be real cool with that.
Yeah.
No, you know, and I think that's the beauty of being successful and still being able to have a purpose with what you do, not just with Fight Labs, but just on a personal level. I mean, having a purpose to your passion with the supplements and then you know, having scripture on there and you know, that alone, that's a beautiful thing. But even just stepping away from the business and having the passion that you have and for the purpose of not just sharing the gospel, but just loving on people, man. I just wanted to give you props on that.
Thank you.
Because, you know, you guys are doing a beautiful thing, not just in Modesto, but, I mean, it's hard to explain all the places you guys are going, Cambodia and Mexico, Tecate and all the stuff. Yeah. And I seen firsthand you guys bought 80 boxes for the orphans this last Christmas for the orphanage in Tecate. So you guys are doing a beautiful thing, man.
And brand new shoes too, right?
I mean, brand new everything.
We didn't need a commercial. We're not like trying to write it off as tax. I don't even think I got any paperwork to send it to my accountant. I don't even think about that. Sometimes my accountant will go, hey, you got to do it. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I just do it. He points, I shoot. God points, you just do it. And it all gets taken care of. It's the craziest thing. It's,
And you know, that's the beauty of it, is I think a lot of business people can learn from what, you know, Ben does and what you do, and you guys do business with a passion and a purpose.
Yeah.
And a purpose.
Yeah, there's no hidden agenda other than what the truth is. So we'll get exposed on what we're doing. So who would want to do anything for a God that didn't exist or that something that wasn't there? So it's obviously, we're not lunatics. We're not crazy. We've got a lot to offer. We like to give back. So
yeah, you guys,
it is what it is. It
you guys
exists.
Are the ultimate example of giving back. I love that.
No hidden agenda, guys. And I don't, like I said, I don't even need any paperwork for write off. I mean, yeah, in the world, I guess I do. Got to make sure that's all taken care of. I take care of my business. It's not like I'm going to go to jail for tax evasion. I pay my taxes. I do everything. This is my life now. This is what chapter we're on. That's just what I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Ken knows what he's supposed to be doing. All the guys here today know what they're supposed to be doing. You guys know what you're supposed to be doing. Right. It's kind of sad. There's a lot of people out there that that are unaware and don't know or don't believe. You're like, man, how can I get them? I guess just by them watching me.
Yeah.
I'm just one guy. Look, I run this whole thing. I got a guy in an office down in L.A. I'm just one guy, though. One guy running this whole thing and doing that. And, you know.
We got some visitors over here at the clubhouse.
Yeah, it might be SWAT team or something.
It might be FBI coming in on here. Well, before we get going, Bo, I know you had a couple things now. You good?
Hey,
we got
5-0.
We got 5-0 rolled up on us over here. We got Rod Garcia. What up, Rod?
MPD, one of Modesto's finest.
One of Modesto's finest. Also, Soldier of the Cross.
Soldier Cross, my brother.
And so we'll be just wrapping up. Bo, did you have
questions?
Questions, statements, queries, comments.
I would say
concerns.
Today was really. Today, I would say this to you because I haven't really had a lot of time to talk to you, but I really can see that there is a difference. It's Jesus. It's God flowing through you, and God's gonna take you places where other businesses can't go because of the integrity. You know, our pastor says something. He says, you know, integrity is what you do when no one's looking.
When no one's looking.
Right? And so I believe because of that, you're seeing the benefits now, but you're going to see even, you know, even bigger things, better things. And I really appreciate you and your heart, you know, what you bring to soldiers, who you are as a businessman, as a man of God. You know, I really found another hero today, I think, just by being around you, somebody that I would want to be a mentor to me. But I really appreciate you, and I would say in this moment, you know, what would you tell people when it comes to if they're in a bad place or if they need help? What would you say? It's all about ministry. What would you say to them, being that you've been at the top, you've been at the bottom, everywhere in between? Answer this question. What do people need to do about that in that place in their life right now?
No, it's very simple. It's no one's exempt. It all comes down to the same thing. No matter how wealthy you are, no matter what this world gives you, it all winds up at the same place. Unfulfilled, like I said over there, once I try to fill that cup up, I can keep pouring all the fluid. There's holes in it. It's never going to fill up. No matter what. And I've already been there. I've already been given everything that I thought I wanted. Covers of magazines, notoriety, commercials, small movie parts. I mean, one of the greatest physiques in the world. UFC, pay-per-view. To have that feeling, and you're all going to be there, no matter how wealthy you are or whatever, to have that feeling of unfulfilledness, to act like, feel like you're swimming. There's no other way I can ever put it. It's always the same. I feel like I was swimming, and I was going under, and I had all these people hanging on to me, relying on me. I got tired. I was getting tired. There's nothing worse than feeling tired. I was tired of being tired. Wake up tomorrow. This is the same thing here. This isn't fulfilling to me as far as, oh, look at me, my picture on this. I got my own supplement line. It's the best. It was the same thing, but in a different environment, not having God in my life to where he is now. It's looking up at my pictures or whatever. Now it's different. It's like, wow, look what I'm doing, the passion I have. You know, God's behind this. And I have this joy, this peace, and I'm not tired. So when you get to that point, it's very simple. You just hit your knees. It's no difference in being in a foxhole and being an atheist or non-believer. When those missiles are coming over, those bullets are flying, you just cry out to God and you say, hey. And if you actually barter with him, like say, hey, this is what I'll do for you if you show yourself. Mm-hmm. So for everybody, same question, same answer. Hit your knees, humble yourself, cry out to God. He'll show up. I promise you that. He'll show up. If you don't want your life to change, don't do it. But your life is going to change. If you don't want to be happy, that's fine. God will pour blessings and put more food on somebody else's plate. If you don't want it, that's fine. Doesn't make him happy. He loves all of us equally, and he wants to shell out and pour out his blessings to all of us. We're all equal in his eyes. It's just whether we choose to accept him and want him in our lives. It's really kind of sad. He just wants to love us.
Yeah.
You're thinking, what is he, a geeky god or something? He likes that guy at school. He's like the rich guy, but you just invite him. He wants attention, so he tries to buy everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, you want my, like you don't have any friends? It's really crazy. But that's when your life's going to change. So like I said, for the fifth time now, when you feel like that and when this happens to you in this unfulfilled life, hit your knees, cry out to God, Jesus' name. He's going to show up.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be happy. So
that's right.
Sometimes you're so happy, you just feel like crying.
Right.
And nothing's ever made you feel like that. You know, it's like.
I agree. You have peace and there's joy. There's so much that God can do and will do. So I'm with you on that. I feel you on that.
What a great day. Juvenile Hall, got out there, got to do our thing. Wanted to change some lives first and foremost and do what God wants us to do. And to be able to give back to what we said we'd want to do. Want to give back. Want to pay back. Want to change some lives.
Yeah, and that's what you're doing.
That's what we did, man, bottom line. No hidden agenda.
Business with a purpose, business with a passion, and and that's what Dan Freeman does. And, it's a beautiful thing, man. So I hope that other business people learn from the example that you are.
The young ones, the young business people.
The young entrepreneurs.
The young guys that get the hustle out there that want to know how.
Yeah. So all you young entrepreneurs, reach out to Dan Freeman. You got a question, you got a concern, or anything you got going on as far as in your business, make sure you find a purpose for what you're doing, like what Dan's doing with the Soldiers of the Cross ministry, and go full blast with it and put every ounce of your belief into it. So Dan, where can someone find you? Where can we?
I got a Facebook, I got an Instagram, I got an email. You can contact my office at www.fightlabs.com. My Facebook is Fight Labs Dan Freeman.
Instagram, same thing. And come on there, hit me a message, whatever. If I don't get back to you today or tomorrow, don't stress out. I get to them when I can. And
go get some Fight Labs. Go get some Fight Labs.
Hey, if you're tired of taking crappy products or things that aren't of quality, is what it is, man. Mine's the highest quality. It's blessed. It's NCAA compliant. It's the highest grade. I use the right amount, the maximum amount. And won't get ripped off anymore. It's time to get some results. In the cage or on the stage, results you can see and feel.
There you go. Yeah. So, I was about to say that.
Yeah, I know.
So today's show is brought to you by Fight Labs. In the cage or on the stage?
On the stage.
And what was the last part?
Results you can see and feel.
Results you can see and feel. There you go.
Vitamins.
Yeah, take your vitamins.
Yeah.
And there you go. Fightlabs.com. Anybody got any questions? Hit up Dan Freeman. Do business with a purpose and a passion, and put your money where your mouth is, like what Dan is doing, what Dan is saying, what Soldiers of the Cross do. Make a difference, make a change, change the world. If you want to impress somebody, do that. Put your money where your mouth is, do business with a purpose and passion. Love you guys, man. Thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
Reach
Dan.
Out.
Thank you,
Dan, for your time.
God bless us. God bless everybody. And let's wake up tomorrow and let's change, try to change some of the world.
A little bit of it.
One day at a time.
Yep. And we are signing out from the Soldiers of the Cross clubhouse here in the airport district of Modesto.
Modesto.
And we are out of
here now with the
Dan
like
Freeman and Bo Harrows. And we are out. Thank you guys. Connected. Tune in. Rate. Subscribe. Review. Share. Do all that good stuff. Thank you guys. God bless. We love you. Until next time.